one of your issues that we talked about early in session when the Senate had talked about it and debated it, now in the House, and that's collateral source.
Yes, it's actually been voted out of the House. They had the perfection and vote this week, and I presume the third read vote will probably be today, which is their final action on collateral source, and it will go to the governor, who more than likely will veto the bill, and we'll see if we have the votes to override it. That's a bill that essentially says you have to be truthful when there are judgments about some kind of a personal injury. You have to be truthful about the cost of medical care. You can't use numbers that don't really reflect the actual cost of medical care when you're working on any kind of settlement, but you have to actually use medical care costs that were billed. It's a little bit complicated, but it's a pretty straightforward in terms of, I guess, truth in sentencing. And so I'm very pleased. We took about 13 hours to get that out of the Senate, and I'm happy that the House was able to take it up and pass it without amendments. It won't have to come back to us now. I am concerned that the governor is likely to veto it, but hopefully if he does, then we can come back in September and override that veto.
Had a, I think what turned out to be an interesting vote in the House Emerging Issues Committee this week on Senate Joint Resolution 39, which is a religious freedom measure that the Senate spent a great deal of time on back in, I believe, March.
That's right. We spent between 39 and 40 hours trying to get that vote passed a filibuster. We're finally able to move it out of the Senate by virtue of the previous question motion, which stops debate, but also is something that we are reluctant to use in the Senate. We did move it out of the Senate before spring break. The House has had it there since. It was our understanding that the House would easily pass that, and it would be sent to a vote of the people to protect those who are either in religious institutions or who are somehow involved in marriage and have, I guess, conscientious objections to being involved in some way to facilitate the marriage of two men together or the marriage of two women. The vote was 6-6 in one of the House committees, which is a defeat of that amendment. So it was a real disappointment. There were no votes in there that we thought would be yes votes. Just so happens that two of those votes are people that are running for the state Senate, and I think the Missouri Chamber of Commerce probably was heavily leaning, lobbying them to vote against the bill, and a number of large companies like Monsanto and Ameren were putting lots of pressure on them, and I think they probably felt threatened in their Senate race and decided they would vote against their conscience. I can't read their heart, but that's what my interpretation would be. I've told people before that if you run for the Missouri House or the Missouri Senate and there are no issues over which you would be willing to cast a vote that might cost you your seat, that you probably shouldn't be here. It does concern me and certainly is a disappointment that it looks like that resolution went down because there were folks that were more concerned about an election than they were about the issue.
There was a lot of pressure from business groups. There were a lot of different entities that came forward after this and even during the debate on the Senate side on this resolution saying, well, this is just going to drive jobs and no one's going to bring a convention to Missouri ever again. How, and that was difficult to judge, but how truthful was a lot of that and how much, and obviously it's proven itself to be successful in keeping this measure from going to a ballot this year.
Absolutely. There are a number of different ways you can look at that, and I don't require that everybody agree with me or align with me, but I do have my own opinions about what drove some of that lobbying in opposition to the Religious Freedom Amendment. You have fewer and fewer businesses, it seems, that are driven by moral absolutes above what might be considered pure business issues, profitability or threats to profitability, perceived threats to profitability. And in some of those, you still have some businesses that are very character-driven. You've got Chick-fil-A that has certain religious convictions that it subscribes to, even though means they're going to be closed on Sundays when all their competitors are open. You have Hobby Lobby, which is a very large business, but once again, they have religious convictions that says we're going to be closed on Sundays, even though all our competitors are open. And those are examples of people that have the kind of moral convictions and moral absolutes that say there are things bigger than business. I'm afraid what we saw in the opposition to SJR 39 are those companies that don't have those moral absolutes about which their business is built. It's built purely on what they perceive to be threats to the business or opportunities for the business rather than more fundamentally to some absolute standard of right and wrong.
Now, the resolution passed this week in the Senate deals with suicide prevention.
Right. That's kind of a puzzling issue. As I sat and listened to the debate on the suicide prevention, and it's interesting that the minority party took a very active debate stance in defending that and promoting it and making sure that we do things that help to prevent suicides and analyzing every one of those deaths as is such a tragedy, and they are. There's no disputing that. Every one of those deaths is a tragedy when someone submits to suicide. But I couldn't help but wonder, as I sat there on the floor, why the same group, in terms of the politics, is so expressly protective of abortion, which kills maybe 5,000 babies a year. You lose roughly 5,000 lives every year to abortion, not nearly that many to suicide. And yet there's that eagerness to kill a baby in the womb, but such a passionate defense of a life that is taken by their own hand in the suicide. And I certainly agree that every suicide is a tragedy, but it is a decision, as deranged as it might be, that an individual has made themselves, and the abortion are being made by someone else, where that death, the person who's dying, has no say in it. That to me is quite a contrast when you look at it.